Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Cirino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the show, we will break down the Antonio Brown trade. Not a great day in Pittsburgh. The AB trade ends up being a disaster in a lot of ways. The Steelers only got a third and a fifth round pick for Antonio Brown for the best receiver in the league. But I will tell you, look, I'm going to go doom and gloom today. We are going to talk about what a disaster that trade was, but we're not going to do it for the full 30 minutes today. I will tell you why. There is still reason to believe that this Steeler team can be even better than the team it was a year ago, or at least finish with a better record than they did a year ago. This can still be the best team in the AFC North, and we'll talk about why today. We'll also talk about the fact that today is the start of the legal tampering period and which free agents might the Steelers be interested in. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Tony Cirino. You can find more of this podcast by going to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find podcasts, search Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button. Make sure to get your daily dose. You can follow me on Twitter at Steeler Country. You can find me on Facebook, search Locked On Steelers, hit the like button there. Make sure you also join the Facebook group. You can also find me on Instagram at Locked On Steelers. The AB deal is done. The AB saga is over. All the drama can end in Pittsburgh now, and the Steelers can move on and focus on free agency. Antonio Brown dealt to the Oakland Raiders late Saturday night for a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick. Not a good trade for the Steelers. I'm sure you've heard this over the past 24 to 48 hours. This is a terrible trade for the Steelers through and through, right? Antonio Brown won this trade going away. He got everything he wanted out of this trade. He wanted three things going in. He wanted to be traded from the Steelers. He wanted to go to one of his preferred destinations. And he wanted to be the highest paid receiver in the NFL. He's no longer a Steeler. For whatever reason, the Raiders were one of his preferred destinations. Good luck with that, Antonio. But he's there. He went to the Oakland Raiders. And the Raiders gave him $30 million of guaranteed money, making him now the highest paid player in the NFL. Not adding any new years to his deal, just adding new money to his deal, giving him $30 million of that guaranteed. Good luck with that, Oakland. I hope it works out for you. I think all Steeler fans know, you know, the first time Derek Carr throws a ball in the dirt, Antonio Brown is going to be looking around saying, where is Ben Roethlisberger? But good luck with it. Good luck with it out in Oakland. My issue here is not the Oakland Raiders. It is with Kevin Colbert. It is with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't want to belabor this point because I'm sure you guys have been hearing about this over the past 24 to 48 hours about the Antonio Brown situation and how bad this trade is for the Steelers. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no bright side of this deal. Kevin Colbert and the Steelers went into this deal saying, we are not trading him for nothing, right? We are going to get our compensation out of this or we won't trade him. That's what Kevin Colbert was saying, or we won't trade him. Now, it ends up being that was, you know, there was no truth to that. The Steelers never intended to keep Antonio Brown, never intended to play a game of chicken with Antonio Brown. They wanted him out, and they wanted him out right away. And they were willing to basically accept anything for it. And that's the problem I have with Kevin Colbert and this organization. They played this from a position of weakness and not from a position of strength. And I get that everyone wants to say today, if you want to look on the bright side of this, you say, well, at least he's out of the locker room, at least the culture is going to be better now. They're done with it. They got something in return for it. But that, again, that's playing it from a position of weakness. The Steelers came into this saying first round pick and a player, right? That was all the reports early on, is the Steelers want a first round pick and more. And that's what I was saying here, because you can parlay the AB situation into fixing some of your other problems, especially the problems on defense. Yes, you're going to downgrade at wide receiver, but as long as you get a starter capable player at wide receiver, you can take the AB trade and then use that to fix some of your other problems defensively. A first round pick would have done that. A first round pick and a player certainly would have done that. A second round pick, not as good, but you could live with it. You could live with a second round pick, especially the Raiders' second round pick, which would essentially have been a first round pick because it was so early on in the second round. But a third round pick and a fifth round pick, I mean, there's egg on the face of the Pittsburgh Steelers right now. They traded him away for nothing. And I get that he tanked his own value. And we talked about this during the Bills podcast. We talked about the Bills trade, right? The fact that AB had his places he wanted to go. He wanted to be the highest paid receiver. But once it became clear, and Ian Rappaport tweeted this on Sunday. He said, look, compensation was never the problem here for the Steelers. They had teams that were willing to give up more than a third and a fifth. You have to imagine that whatever the Bills deal was, and we may never know what the real Bills deal was. But it did seem very likely that that deal was for a pick swap, moving from 20 to 9, moving the Steelers in position to take a guy like Greedy Williams, take a guy like Devin White. If they wanted DK Metcalf, he could have been available at that spot, right, to replace Antonio Brown. Those are the type of players Steelers could have been getting. Instead, they end up with a third-round pick. Who are the best third-round picks the Steelers have taken in the past couple years? Last year, they took Mason Rudolph and Chukwuma Okorafor. Is that a good enough compensation for the best wide receiver in the game? Year before that, who were those players? James Conner and Cam Sutton. James Conner's good, but running backs are a dime a dozen in this league. And then, you know, Cam Sutton. I mean, Cam Sutton is exactly the kind of player you have to worry about if you're the Steelers, because the Steelers are going into this draft needing so many defensive players. And the Steelers' ability to take late-round defensive talent and turn it into starter-capable players has basically been non-existent in years past. I mean, their ability to hit on early-round defensive players has been just as bad, but probably better, right? You know, you've got for every Bud Dupree and Jarvis Jones, you've got at least a T.J. Watt and a Cam Hayward in there and a Ryan Shazier, right? I mean, they have hit just as much as they've missed on those first-round players. But, you know, you go to the third round on defensive players, there's just not a whole lot to show for it. And that's what the Steelers got in return for Antonio Brown. Now, I get a lot of people saying, what was the alternative here? What could the Steelers have done? They had no leverage in this. And I just vehemently disagree with that. And I know I said this on Friday's podcast, so I'm not going to belabor it. But if I'm Kevin Colbert and teams are coming to me and saying, I'll give you your second round pick for AB, but I'm not making him the highest paid player, I can't do that, then if I'm Kevin Colbert, I'm going back to Antonio Brown and I'm saying, look, I'm willing to trade you. You want off this team so bad, I am willing to trade you. But your contract demands are making this an untradeable deal. And so if you don't back off the contract demands, I can't make this deal happen, and I'll see you in July at training camp. And I play the game of chicken with him. And I get that, you know, what if he actually shows up? Deal with that. You got to deal with that. Because you can't. What the Steelers have done today is they've gotten nothing in return for the best player. I mean, a third and a fifth is not nothing, but essentially, considering how well or how poorly the Steelers have drafted in recent history, I mean, this is going to be a nothing deal for the Steelers. What is the best case scenario for a third and a fifth for AB? It's a guy who's a borderline starter and a guy who doesn't make the roster. I mean, to me, that's like the best case scenario out of this. And that's why it feels so bad. And the fact that AB got everything they wanted and the Steelers got nothing that they wanted out of this deal. They played it from a position of weakness. You know, AB wanted off this team just as bad as the Steelers wanted him off this team. That's why I think playing the game of chicken, you actually could have come out better than this. But they didn't. They capitulated at the last second. They said, look, whatever, third and a fifth. And by the way, reports were out of Oakland on Thursday of last week that the Oakland's first deal was a second and a fourth. And because the whole thing with the Bills happened and the Raiders are looking at that and going, wait, what? Are we the only team in this? Is there any other team willing to actually make this deal? Because if not, why are we offering a second and a fourth? And then they lowered their deal to a third and a fifth. It's just a terrible situation overall. And it leaves the Steelers with so many holes and not enough pieces to fill them. Right? That to me is what hurts the worst about this. We all knew the Steelers were going to lose Antonio Brown. That was not a question. The question was, how are you going to fill all these needs? And by trading Antonio Brown and getting a second first-round pick or getting a second-round pick, at least gave you enough ammunition to make you believe the Steelers could use those picks to find starter-capable players. Two first-round picks means that you have the likelihood of taking, you can get a Devin Bush and Greedy Williams, a Devin Bush and a DeAndre Baker. And then second round, you got a Hakeem Butler, right? And okay, yes, you've got three rookies, but at least you feel better about where this team is overall. You got three young, talented players early in the draft that you can build off of. But the Steelers aren't going to get that out of this draft. You know, whoever they get in the third round, look, I hope that a player that they covet slips to the third round. Or the other thing that I've heard, and maybe this is a better use of the pick, is to use this pick as ammunition to actually move up in the draft, right? You know, the Steelers' original deal is to go from 20 to 9. Well, just use the Raiders' third round pick or use your own third round pick as ammunition to move up in the draft to get a guy that you covet, whether that's a Greedy Williams, Devin White, Devin Bush. You know, we've talked about all these players. I get that part of this as well, and that's probably the part that makes me feel the best about this situation is that that to me is the best use of it. I just don't trust Kevin Colbert. I don't trust the scouts. I do not trust the Steelers' ability to take players in the third round or beyond and turn those players into capable starters. I just don't. Now, it's not that there's no positives coming out of this deal, right? Or that it's all doom and gloom. And I was probably guilty of being too doom and gloom on that live stream I did on Saturday night when talking about this trade right away. But only getting a third and a fifth for AB, obviously, you know, doesn't make you feel warm and fuzzy about the Steelers' future, right? I mean, the Steelers are trading away in consecutive seasons now, right? They lose Ryan Shazier 2 years ago. Then they lose Le'Veon Bell right before the start of last season. So they have to go into last season without Ryan Shazier or Le'Veon Bell. Now they're going to be losing Antonio Brown, right? In two consecutive seasons, they're going to be losing three of their best players. And what do they have to show for it, right? Out of those three players, all they have to show for it is a third and a fifth round pick to replace them. You know, it's not a good situation to be in, but it's not all doom and gloom. And it's not like this team has a terrible roster overall, even at the positions where they just lost, right? Talk about Le'Veon and AB. You know, people talk about how the fact that Steelers are losing AB this offseason because he's going somewhere else. It's such a stupid point to make because the Steelers lost Le'Veon a year ago when he didn't show up and they replaced him with James Conner. And we know now that James Conner can be a good running back in this league, a quality running back in this league. In fact, when he was at his best last season, he was one of the best running backs in the league. And so the Steelers have to assume that that's the running back that they're getting going into 2019. They also have one of the best young wide receivers in Juju. And I understand that there's going to be questions about his ability to play, as the number one on this team and play without Antonio Brown. And can he handle the double teams that he's going to be getting? Those are legitimate questions. But let's not act like that this team is going from the killer bees to a bunch of scrubs at those positions. That is not the case. It was Ben Roethlisberger, it was Le'Veon Bell, it was Antonio Brown. Now, it's Ben Roethlisberger, James Conner, and Juju. And you can do a whole lot worse than that trio I just mentioned. So let's not act like this team goes from being one of the best in the league to one of the worst in the league. It's a downgrade, no doubt about it, but it's not the extreme downgrade that everyone's making it sound like. The Steelers still have a nucleus from which to build. They have a real needed outside receiver, and part of that has to come with James Washington. This team cannot afford for James Washington to be an out-and-out bust. That you have to believe that he's going to turn a corner next year. If you're going to believe that this team is going to turn it around and become a better team than the 9-6-1 team we saw in 2018, part of that has to come from the fact that James Washington turns a corner. It has to. Now, here's the thing about James Washington. It's not as though the entirety of the 2018 season was a disaster for James Washington. What we saw in training camp and what we saw in preseason was a guy who has the ability to make those kind of spectacular catches that they drafted him for. And you have to believe that he's still capable of that. The other thing that has to make you feel somewhat good about James Washington is just the limited reps, the limited targets that he got in 2018. He didn't play well. I agree with that. But he also didn't get his chances like he will be getting in 2019. He had what? 50 targets? Last year, I mean, you know, that's going to go way up in 2019. It's going to go way up. He's going to be in the 70, 80, 90 target range as the starting outside receiver in an offense that's not going to be ball dominant from Antonio Brown and Juju anymore. Juju's going to be getting double teamed. You know, you're going to have whoever your other wide receiver is going to end up being, whether that's someone out of free agency or in the draft. But this offense is going to have to spread the ball around now. You're not going to have 150 targets for AB and 150 targets for Juju anymore. So James Washington has to step up. Now you've got James Conner out of the backfield as a runner, as a receiver. I think Eli Rogers coming back. I think we talk about wide receivers and bringing someone back. I think bringing Eli Rogers back is as important as anyone. The Steelers ran four wide receiver sets more than any team in the league in 2018. And so if the starting four receivers for the Steelers in 2019 is Juju, James Washington, Eli, and then whoever the other receiver is going to be, whether it's a rookie or whether it's a free agent. Again, you can do a whole lot worse than that starting lineup if James Washington turns a corner. It's a huge part of this team. It's a huge part of this rebuilding process on offense. But let's not sit here and act like this team has nothing to build from on offense. That's not the case. They still have got a great offensive line. They've got a good young runner. They've got a good young receiver. and they've got a nucleus to build from. They've just got, look, they didn't get enough in return for Antonio Brown, and so they go into a draft now where it's, you kind of can't miss here. You can't miss. You got a first round pick at 20 that you potentially move up. You got to hit there, whether it's a defender or whether it's the wide receiver. You got to hit on that pick. You got to hit on your second and third round picks as well. You got to bring in three starters this year. You need a starter at corner, you need a starter at linebacker, and you need a starter at wide receiver. If they hit on those three positions, let's stop talking about this team being 6-10, the third best team in their division, all of that. This team can still be a contender in the AFC North. The Browns are on the way up, but they don't know how to win yet. The Ravens, sure, they surprised everyone at the end of last season with Lamar Jackson in that running game, but they got figured out by the end of the year. The Pittsburgh Steelers still can go into 2019 as the best team in that division, even as bad as this AB thing all turned out. And then before we finish up, today is the start of the legal tampering period in the NFL. Today is the day when teams can start talking to potential free agents about new deals, signing them to new contracts when the league year starts on Wednesday. We've talked a lot this offseason about the Steelers potentially being more aggressive in free agency, more aggressive than they've ever been. Is this the year to finally do it? They're going to have the cap space. Now, we've talked a lot about their cap space before, $20, $25 million of available cap space. That number is certainly going to go down based on some of the deals that they've made over the past week or so. No one saw them giving Xavier Grimble $2 million for 2019, but they did. That's going to eat into that available cap space. I think a lot of people thought that the Steelers would move on from a guy like Ramon Foster. They did not. They ended up re-signing him. That's going to eat into that available cap space. But there's still some moves to be done. So as of today, after the Marcus Gilbert trade, after the trade of Antonio Brown, the Steelers sit with $16.4 million in available cap. Now, that does not work in the new Marquise Pouncey contract. That does not work in the new contract for Ramon Foster. There's also, very likely over the next couple days, going to be an extension for Ben Roethlisberger. That should move that cap space a little bit or add some to that cap space. The Steelers also are probably going to be cutting Morgan Burnett here in the next couple days. That'll take away $3.5 million, that'll open up $3.5 million in available cap space. There's also some other moves that they can do. I've looked at Joe Hayden's contract as one to this point that can be extended if the Steelers want to make some more cap space available. Joe Hayden, in the last year of his deal, he's making $12 million, or he's going to count $12 million against the cap this year. They can extend that deal out a couple years and potentially free up some of that cap space, but we'll see if they elect to do that. To this point, they have not. So they're likely going to end up, as we get into Wednesday and into Thursday, the Steelers are going to likely end up with right around $20 million of available cap. What does that put them in the market for? And we've talked about CJ Mosley before on this podcast. If he's going to be looking for, $10, $11, $12 million a year, it's going to be tough. The Steelers are going to have to make some moves in order to make that happen. Quan Alexander is another inside linebacker that Steeler fans are talking about. He's coming off of an ACL tear from Tampa. Reports are he's going to want in that $10 to $12 million range. The Steelers aren't going to go there for CJ Mosley. They're likely not going to go there for Quan Alexander. Akeem Hicks is another player at inside linebacker that fans are talking about. He's from the Philadelphia Eagles. Could be more of a value play there at inside linebacker. At wide receiver, where of course we have this big need now that Antonio Brown has been traded, Golden Tate is a player that's getting brought up now, especially considering that he actually tweeted at the Steelers right after Antonio Brown got traded. That made Steeler fans excited. The problem with Golden Tate is a couplefold. One, he's a slot receiver. He's not an outside receiver, and the Steelers need another outside receiver right now. They don't need another slot receiver. Juju should be their slot receiver, although I understand he can play outside, and the Steelers may be forced to play him on the outside, considering how depleted they are right now at the outside receiver position. But they don't need another slot. They have Ryan Switzer right now. They can bring back Eli Rogers, likely at a discount. Golden Tate's going to make like $10 million plus on this new contract. And the Steelers should not be spending $10 million on another slot receiver. I mean, you look at the deal that Tyrell Williams from the Chargers is likely to get. Now, here's a guy who I think does fit everything the Steelers need at receiver. He's an outside receiver. He's a speed guy, can beat you deep. That would make sense to me. The problem with Tyrell Williams is, are you willing to spend that amount of money on Tyrell Williams? I just don't think the Steelers should. I don't know that there's a receiver right now. As I look at the market, John Brown is a guy that Matt Williamson brings up a lot. He makes some sense. It really depends on what that number is going to end up being. Is it $5 million or less? I guess I can deal with John Brown for $5 million or less to come in as another speedster on the outside. You know, you need that guy who can kind of take a top off of a defense. I guess I'd be okay with that. The player I keep coming back to when I think about how this team is going to address their needs at outside receiver right now, the easiest play is to just bring back Justin Hunter. And I know that that's not going to be a great move to Steeler fans, but it just makes the most sense. It's a cost-saving move, number one. You don't have to go out in free agency and spend a bunch of money. He's coming off of a shoulder injury. I get that. So you have to worry about his health, and they have to figure that out first and foremost. But if he is healthy, look, the guy's not a great outside receiver, but none of the players that the Steelers are talking about bringing or that we're talking about bringing in, right? Now, if it's not Tyrell Williams, if it's not Golden Tate, we're talking about bringing in Chris Conley, we're talking about bringing in John Brown. You know, you're spending a bunch of money on a guy who is, how much better is John Brown right now than Justin Hunter? He's better, but is he that much better? I don't know. I wouldn't say so. And certainly the Steelers are going to be addressing this wide receiver position in the draft as well. What they need is kind of a backstop at wide receiver. And in that way, I could see Justin Hunter being that player. The same way I think Cody Sensabaugh will be that player at corner. I look at the corner market right now. You know, who's out there that's worth spending money on at corner? I just don't know who that player is right now. And that's why I say the Steelers need to bring back Cody Sensabaugh, yes, but I don't know that they should be going out and trying to address that position in free agency. Not to say that this draft is going to be any better, but there's just not you're not overpaying for a corner right now when you can, you know, get a guy in the second round that could potentially be your starter, or even in the first round, like a Greedy Williams. At safety, that's an interesting position. I could see the Steelers going back into the safety market, especially considering that they're going to be cutting Morgan Burnett. They played so much three safety looks last year. That's a need for them. They can bring in competition for Sean Davis, or they can just bring in a guy who can be your third safety. There's so many safeties available. You look at what happened last year with guys like Eric Reed and Trey Boston having to accept deals that were way less than they were looking for when they were available in the open market. Yeah, the Steelers should be able to get a bargain at whatever safety they want this year. I mean, the Tyrann Mathews of the world will likely go early in free agency, but there are so many good safeties available. The Steelers should be able to wait, as they've done in years past, and get kind of, you know, quote-unquote tier three guy who in this year should be far better than Morgan Burnett. And then as I've said, you know, inside linebacker to me is the position where if I'm Kevin Colbert and I'm looking to spend money this offseason, I'm looking to upgrade and I have some money to spend, inside linebacker to me represents the position where I can make the best argument for spending that money. Is CJ Mosley worth $12 million a year? No, but he's worth it more than Tyrell Williams is worth 10 plus, more than Golden Tate's worth 10 plus, more than any of those corners are worth, right? Who's the best corner right now that you're willing to go out and get? Bradley Roby? I mean, Bradley Roby's a project. He's an outcast from Denver because he just didn't work out. You know, are you going to be paying Bradley Roby $8, $9, $10 million a year? I wouldn't. I'd rather pay C.J. Mosley, who's a Pro Bowl type player, the $10, $12 million he wants, or Quan Alexander, whoever it is at inside linebacker. I'd rather spend that money there. But if we could be heading into another free agency where the Steelers make no moves. There isn't an obvious guy right now that I think the Steelers are going to go get. I think inside linebacker would be nice. Those guys are you know, they are overpriced, no doubt about it, but everyone's going to be in free agency. And the positions of need for the Steelers right now, corner and wide receiver, don't represent the deepest positions of free agency. In fact, they represent the most shallow positions in this year's free agency. And in that way, you could see the Steelers keep quiet this free agency. But we'll know as of today. I mean, we'll know over the next couple days as this legal tampering period starts. Pay attention to Twitter, and you'll start hearing about the players that the Steelers could be interested in when the league year starts. All right, that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com, the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.